Thank you so much, Hemiro, for joining me in this conversation today. I want to start by asking you, especially for me, coming from an Indian dance background and working theatrically with that, from your perspective, how important is physicality and movement or movement sequences within the realm of drama and plays and theatre?
Hi, Seamus. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you. Physicality for me is just comes as the fundamental factor for expressing something. So when from the very beginning, when I started with theater, I came to think, well, I'm watching someone on the stage. This person is alive, and there is a presence, and there is someone that is a combination of body and soul in a way. So what came to me, it was, so we need to work in the whole of that person, in the whole of possibilities of expressing. So the physicality comes for me not only to work on the physical side, but the physicality as a channel, as a bridge between what you could call the vibe. I like to call the vibe, the spirit, the energy. To bridge the energy with what that energy is trying to express, that comes from the body, that comes to from how you express yourself. So for me, the physicality comes as the ground and the form that is embodied by something that you could call energy, you could call vibe, you could call, and all of course related to the mind, to the heads. So I was always against the so-called talking heads that only the heads there, the very headed minded, that you have, oh, I have got to think very much on what I want to do. But it's not about thinking very much on what you want to do. It's about allowing your thoughts to be, you know, a whole group of bridged parts of your body. If you know what I mean.
I completely know what you mean, and it's that it's connecting mind, body, and soul. And you kind of touched on those in a way, really. And yeah, that I completely understand the vibe and the energy, and being alive is the key, definitely for me as well. Just sort of building on that, you've developed your own technique, I suppose, or approach to devising theatre that has kind of physical sensibilities to it, called Theatre Playground. And I just wanted to hear from you about, one, what Theatre Playground encompasses, and also what made you start to explore that world and sort of start developing that approach?
Right. Yeah. The Theatre Playground came as an attempt of, as I said before, of bridging these two things, physicality with vibe, with energy, with what goes on inside your mind. Because since the very beginning, this was the reason why I start creating this, I can call it a technique or a collection of procedures, if you will. Because I started in a very traditional training as theater director, sitting around the table, studying the text, and then I would go, I would start improvisations around the idea, around the story. And then a certain moment, the director would come and say, okay, no more improvs, let's block.
Yes.
That was extremely boring for me because I was having so much fun throughout the process of improvising things, creating new worlds. And then when I was called to, you know, to put my feet on the ground and start doing things that would be, you know, happening on the stage throughout the play, I didn't have the same joy anymore. And then I started wondering, how could I carry on having that joy? How could I carry on having that freedom? And then I started, of course, related to many practitioners who were also thinking more or less like myself. And I got a group of actors. That was when I started my master's, actually, in the 90s, to try out stuff with them, to try out different techniques. And then the first thing that came to my mind is I needed a ground in order to build something on. Because if I had a ground for those actors, for those performers to go back to as a safe harbor, I would say, you know, when I'm getting too much in my head, I have this ground that I can go back to and I don't need to think too much and things could go in a flow. So it's quite literal. When I say theater playground, I'm talking about building a ground to play on.
Yes.
And the play would come from creating this environment that I call playground, this environment that where you would be in a, just to quote Eugenio Barba, would be in this extra daily state of being, that I also call the extraordinary state of being. When you are there, aware of where you are, but also in a state that I also call the playfulness state of being. When you are aware, but you are also wondering, you are also free to create because you have the safe harbor, you have the ground to go back to. So it's all built on a physical vocabulary, so physicality we're talking about, physical vocabulary as a structure where you are going to play and find relations and find whatever you need to find in order to tell that story.
Mm. Right. And just building on that, because that is an approach and a technique you've kind of discovered over a period of time, and that's coming from yourself and your own experiences. In terms of that process of creating, how important do you feel technique is, and what does a technique or a specific discipline provide in terms of that creation of work?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, in my work, it's very important. I know that some people think in different ways, and there are many different ways of approaching art and many different ways of approaching expressivity and many different ways of telling stories. But in my work, I think the technique comes very much as self-understanding, as a self-knowledge of your possibilities as a performer. So the techniques come for you to understand your body and to understand those connections you have in your body. More you go into the details of how you use your body and how you connect your body to yourself, and to the way you think, and to what you want to express, more physical discipline you have, I think for me, it gives you freedom. It's a bit of a contradiction now, because I think it's more limit I give to an actor, more freedom he or she can have.
Isn't that a Grotowski thinking as well, that the sort of grade of creativity, that the more tighter the parameters, the more the fire of creativity grows?
Absolutely. I think it definitely comes a lot from Grotowski. It relates to Grotowski. Grotowski is one of my main references, as Meinhold as well. As you know, Meinhold is connected to Grotowski through Vakhtangov, that one of the Vakhtangov students were Grotowski's teacher at Gitis in Moscow. So all this line comes from Stanislavski, Meinhold, Vakhtangov, Grotowski, and all comes for me as giving possibilities of treating the body as something that can be. You can have an awareness of your body under certain parameters of energy, of space, of relation, that in my view creates this safe harbor, this this ground where you can refer to, we can go back to. So it's just like, the freedom comes because you are confident, you know where to go back to if you need to. Because if you have all the possibilities, you also have none.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many. So when I have certain parameters, when I have certain lines I have to go and kind of control myself, I'm free to go wherever I want to go because I know I'm firmly attached to the ground. And the ground is important. Also, if I'm building something that I will have to revisit afterwards as a performer, the performance has to do with repetition. So you have to create something that you're going to be able to revisit afterwards in order to repeat. And this is the difficulty, I think, in our art as well. And so for me, it does relate to Grotowski, to Grotowskian actions. It does relate to Meinhold's etudes. The creation of this ground, this physical ground, to then fly from it.
And I think just sort of bringing it to current day, so you have these, you've talked about physicality and the body and the importance of connection and relationship to space, etc. And given the current situation we're in, a lot of people are working, like we are at the moment, conversing.
This current situation,
So in terms of your approach and techniques, how is that translating through the digital world? And what are the positives and negatives that you're finding in that process now?
Oh, this is very hard. It's been really, really hard, not only for me, but I mean, for many, many people, I'm sure, for the majority of us, because we work with presence. We work with live connections. We work with people living in front of people. So, and of course, the whole new world of ours kind of pulls us to be able to find out new alternatives. But that's what we do as artists. We need to find new alternatives. We need to find new ways of approaching things because the ways we used to, they're not possible anymore, or at least for a while. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to run a theater playground workshop. It's something I do and I've been doing for many, many years all over the world. And I said, okay, but now we're locked down, it's impossible. Shall we reschedule it? And they told me, no, we want to propose you to run a theater playground workshop online. Mm, is it possible? How? And it was interesting as well because it was something that has challenged me to think on, okay, how can I approach the same principles or something related to the principles in an online basis, in a remote basis, far away from a group of people, as something that is related in presence, being there at the moment, and a human relationship.
But so earlier you were talking about Stanislavski and Meyerhold and Grotowski, and we kind of think of those as, I suppose we call them Western practitioners, is the term. And we know someone like Grotowski actually went to and used aspects of that. And so definitely within Britain and definitely within the Eurocentric framework, we refer to the East and West quite a lot. Being from Brazil, born and brought up in Brazil, we would consider Brazil to be in the West geographically in relationship to the current geographic maps that we adhere to. But where does that sense of East and West lie for you in terms of Brazil and the artistic practices that arise from that?
Yeah, that's a very good question because I think this whole concept of East and West gets really lost in translation, if you will, because you can say, like, for example, Grotowski, Meinhold, and Stanislavski, they're all like West practitioners. But then you got yeah, all the Russians, they are very much, you know, towards the East. And you can say, okay, so what, when I say that we are working with East influences, actually, it's not only about Asia, it's not only about, it's also for me about a different approach on the work that comes from the embodiment, that comes from physicality being codified somehow in a different way, in a different approach, in a different mindset than what is done normally in the so-called, West approach, that are more related to thoughts, are more related to something that's not palpable, that's not touchable, that comes from the mind first and not from the body first. And then when you come to Brazil, of course, our massive influence is Western, because we are a colonized country, or where throughout life we were explored and we carry on being explored by the West from the very beginning. But at the same time, we have a massive influence that comes from the indigenous people already, who, for example, were there already when the colonized came. So the indigenous people were there with the rituals, and there was the whole genocide of indigenous people there. But it's, the culture carries on somehow as it does. At the same time, we had this horrible episode of slavery, for example, when we had lots of African slaves coming from Africa to Brazil, and also printing their own cultures in a really, strong way. So it's a whole melting pot of different inputs, of different influences, of different references that comes from indigenous people, that comes from the whole European colonized, that comes from the whole North American exploration as well, cultural exploration and money, and mix with the whole African heritage that we have, and comes all together to create, I would say, something that's pretty unique, as every culture is unique and open for many interpretations and open for many possibilities. I'm someone who hates to put labels on things, so, oh, this is one thing, this is another thing. Oh, this is so West, this is so East, this is so... I think we are in a world that we have more and more to try to, and it's getting harder and harder to do that, but you have to try to, because we're going backwards, it seems. But we want to try to break down borders and to break down this putting things in boxes, mm-hmm. and to be able to understand everything as a way of people who are being through times connected, related to many different cultures, to many different approaches, to many different understandings of living in this country. So if you ask me, oh, Brazil is like it's more a West or an East, I think, yeah, you can say it's more West because of the references, because of the whole time in history when Brazil were explored and kind of serving to the Western countries. But at the same time, there's a whole East flavor that is there as well in the way we play with our bodies, I think, in the way we use our bodies to play, use the rhythms and the codes and the embodied codes as well, that surely have to do with Eastern influences as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a complicated, it's a very complicated question.
We were never, I mean, it just opens up a conversation and I suppose a thinking about how everyone is really interconnected through history.
Totally.
We have come to the end of the time because I really want to talk more, but we cannot because...
no, of course not, but it was a pleasure. It was a really, really nice to talk about it.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me and to share your insights and process and your current thinking.
Thank you, Shane. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Okay. I hope we can have other opportunities.
Hopefully, yeah.